You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Very concerned about the proposal to alter the fundamental meaning of marriage. It has always meant, from time immemorial, a lifelong union between a man and a woman. And from that union, especially on the physical side, it is then open to the procreation of children. And married people, the family constituting, coming from marriage, forms the basic building block of a healthy society.
That's Archbishop Peter Smith, the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Southwark in England, talking about an attempt by the government there to legalize same-sex marriage. The plan, according to the press release, is to legalize same-sex marriage. They've had same-sex unions for several years now, civil unions, but the plan is to make it full-blown same-sex marriage to essentially, as the bishop says, redefine the word marriage by 2015. And that's just one story out of the UK that is causing some concern. Another one has to do with, and it seems like a small thing, but it really does touch upon religious liberty there in the United Kingdom, a proposed ban on the part of the government on wearing crucifixes or crosses in the workplace. And the logic is, well, the cross or the crucifix is, number one, just jewelry to many Christians, and number two, is not essential to being a Christian. You're not required to wear a cross as a Christian, so it should fit within the realm of something that the government could ban as part of religious expression in the public place. We're going to be talking about both of those issues with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 14th. Now, you can join us with questions or comments. Give us a call right here in the studio, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email. We get those in real time right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College, and he is author and editor of a great number of books, including his Opus Magnus, his Tractatus Theologicus Logico. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Is this an attempt on the part of the UK government to, as we heard from Archbishop Peter Smith of the Roman Catholic Church there, redefine marriage itself? We got about a few minutes here before our first break.
Well, I'm not sure that the government is in the business of redefining marriage, but the government certainly is trying to appeal to as wide a swath of the English public as possible. And therefore, this is the kind of politically correct issue that governments, not just the UK government, but others, engage in. And it's most unfortunate.
With about a minute here, Dr. Montgomery, did you see this coming as someone who has had, at least in the past, a close affiliation with the United Kingdom? Did you see this move to legalize same-sex marriage by 2015 already coming?
Well, I didn't see this particular issue coming up, but there is no doubt about the fact that in the last 15 years, secularism has increased radically in the public areas in the United Kingdom. When I read for the bar in England, the judges of greatest consequence, who had the greatest influence on the legal system, were Christian. Now that is not the case. And now there is less and less protection legally in the United Kingdom for Christian belief.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. When we come back, we'll spend the remainder of this hour with him talking about same-sex marriage and an attempt to legalize same-sex marriage in the UK. And we'll also turn a little bit later to a question that may touch upon religious liberty, a proposed ban for the cross or the crucifix in the workplace in England. We'll be right back. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Examples of the callousness of Planned Parenthood.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A recent tweet on Planned Parenthood's Twitter account went like this. Retweet this message if you think being pro-choice is sexy. Supporting abortion is many things, but sexy is not one of them. It is one thing to tout your position, but to try glamorizing a situation that is tragic at best is irresponsible. Secondly, the executive director of Planned Parenthood in the Waterloo region of Canada recently expressed careless disregard for sex-selective abortions. When asked about gender-based abortions, she said, incredulously enough, that she, quote, has no right to question someone's reason for getting an abortion.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Thank you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, the 14th of March. We're talking about two stories in the UK. The government's plan to legalize same-sex marriage within the next couple of years and a possible crucifix and cross ban in the workplace. Dr. Montgomery, we've discussed this several times, and you need to kind of set the context for us, if you would, about when we talk about the secularization of a society, of a culture, and a government, really, such as that in the UK, we are talking about an officially Christian state that is being secularized, aren't we?
Yes, and that's, of course, the reason why this sort of thing is so appalling. I mean, if we were talking about a nation where there was a strict separation of church and state, that would be one thing. But in the case of England, there is an established church, and that happens to be the Reformed branch of the Holy Catholic faith in this kingdom, that is to say, the Anglican Church, which is historically one of the great Christian churches. The Queen is the head of that church. And under those circumstances, it is appalling to see a government taking the politically correct secular line and trying to move things in a direction which is contrary to that of the established Christian faith.
So which do you think kind of went first on this issue, the Church of England or England's government?
Well, the explanation, the historical explanation of this kind of thing is really not difficult. Of course, all Western nations have undergone secularization as a result of the Industrial Revolution and the change in societal tone that has been experienced by people living in these countries. But in the case of the Church of England, we have a situation where, if you go back to Elizabethan times, the Church maintained a view that that doctrine was not to be employed in a strict confessional fashion. The approach that the Anglican Church has taken since Elizabethan times is that is called comprehension. That is to say, the church is supposed to comprehend or include everybody. And in order for it to include everybody, you can't be too strict doctrinally. And therefore, when one confesses the 39 Articles or other English theological documents, positions, one does this, and I hate to use a Latin word because it'll frighten everyone to death, but this is done quatenus, Q-U-E-T-A-N-U-S, E-N-U-S. That means insofar as, that is to say, you confess the doctrinal statement insofar as it conforms to Scripture. Now, this is entirely different from the Lutheran and Reformed approach, which is that when you subscribe to a doctrinal statement, you do it quia, Q-U-I-A, because the doctrinal statement conforms to Scripture. If you don't think it does, then you shouldn't be subscribing to it. But in the Anglican frame of reference, this has resulted in far different belief systems within the Anglican Church. Not only are there the evangelicals, the low church, but also the liberals, the broad church, and the high church, who are virtually Roman Catholic, except that they don't acknowledge the authority of the Pope. Well, when you have that kind of thing, the archbishop, the head of the Church of England, generally is a representative of one of those factions. And when one archbishop retires, the government makes sure that the next archbishop represents a different faction. So the end result of all of this is that the Anglican Church has not had the kind of decisive, biblical, theological influence on the culture that was so desperately needed. And as a result of the weakness of the Church of England, it's not at all surprising that things are moving in the direction that they are.
When it comes to the issue of same-sex marriage itself, why do you think that it, and you, I think you are obviously quite right that the entire Western world has experienced this wave of secularization, but why do you think it is always on the agenda eventually? Same-sex marriage here in the United States is hotly debated, but nowhere near making legal progress as it is in the UK.
Well, the reason why this comes up again and again is because because people of the same sex want to have the same sacral quality attached to their relationships that has been attached through Christian history to the marriage of a man and a woman. The fact of the matter is that the civil partnership in England, as in the United States, covers all of the legal issues. That is to say, if two people of the same sex want to live together, then they are protected legally in virtually all respects, so that the idea of calling the relationship marriage is just a symbolic kind of thing. But this is terribly important to these people because they want to elevate that kind of a relationship to a sacral level. Marriage signifies a relationship before God, a relationship which is permanent and absolute, and they want that quality to be attached to the relationships that they have. And they're not going to be happy until they get this kind of thing. But, of course, once this happens, you've redefined the nature of relationships, of family relationships, and the consequences of this are catastrophic. And here the Roman Catholic bishops who have been dealing with this kind of thing understand it very well. They apparently understand it a lot more clearly than the Protestants do. For example, Rowan Williams, the Archbishop of Canterbury, said that really the present situation was going too far because it was ahead of majority opinion. The implication of this is that he wouldn't mind as long as the majority went along with it. And if that isn't an example of abominable theology, try to find a better example.
That sounds like a statement more suited to a politician than to an archbishop.
Well, exactly, but that's exactly what Williams is. He's an ecclesiastical politician. I believe I mentioned on the program on another occasion that when he was nominated, the parish with which my wife and I had a relationship while we were in England sent him a letter and said, but you are in favor of ordaining homosexual clergy and the Church of England has a policy against this. How can you possibly accept the position? And he wrote back and he said, well, he said, you're perfectly right. But as the archbishop, I will, of course, uphold the official position of the church, even though it isn't my personal position. I mean, this is just awful. This is the Averroistic medieval Arab doctrine of the twofold truth.
So this is about wherever we find this. The reason that this is on the list is because the quest for same-sex marriage per se is really a quest for legitimization.
Oh, yes, very much so. And that's obvious from the fact that the civil partnership has taken care of all of the pragmatic legal aspects of the whole business. So the issue now is simply, ought this to be designated by a term which is a sacral term connected with the Christian understanding of marriage?
Does it strike you as odd in any sense that the archbishops that are opposed to this, that are speaking out on this in the UK, are not the archbishops of the official state church, but of the Roman Catholic Church? About a minute and a half before we break.
Well, you see, in England, there really isn't a Lutheran church of any consequence. And so the mess that is represented by the Anglican church with its wide variation in belief, just depending upon which bishop you're talking with or which clergyman, as a result of this, many people in England, many serious believers, have left the Anglican Church, and the most conservative and biblical alternative, ironically, turns out to be the Roman Catholic Church. Roman Catholic Church is much more in accord with Holy Scripture in the English context than the Anglican Church.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. He's Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College, and he's author and editor of more than 50 books, including his Tractatus Logico Theologicus. You can find out more about this book, I highly recommend it, and other great books written by Dr. John Warwick Montgomery at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject of, it's another UK-related subject, and it has to do with the proposed ban of the wearing of crucifixes or crosses in the workplace. Does it touch upon religious expression and religious liberty?
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of issues, etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending the Faith, Teaching the Truth, Issues Etc.
Treadmill for the Mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
First stanza of the hymn, I Bind Unto Myself Today, a great Trinitarian hymn attributed to St. Patrick of Ireland. And tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll study this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about, well, we were talking about same-sex marriage in the UK, now turning to the subject in a minute of the possible ban on crucifixes and crosses in the same country. David is listening in London, England. David, thanks for waiting on the line.
Yes, Stephen from London.
Sorry, Stephen.
Yes, hello. It's good to be hearing some issues covered from over here. Just wanted to say, make a point about the leadership of Protestantism in England, because Dr. Montgomery, you were saying that the comments are coming from Catholic bishops because the Anglican bishops tended to be more liberal. I wonder if it's not also a factor that our more conservative Protestant leadership is very divided. Our leaders don't tend to reach the level of bishop within the Church of England. I myself attend an Anglican church, and our free churches are just off the radar screen. I mean, when I look at what's going on in America, you hear free church leaders, people like Tim Keller or people like Rick Warren, get national coverage. No one knows anything about the free church leaders here, and I think that's something that means that you don't hear a conservative Protestant voice. So that was just a comment I wanted to make on what you were just saying. And a quick question, which is, I know you're about to come onto the cross ban, and one thing I'd quite like to know as an English person is, how come I've not heard anything about this yet? This hasn't become a news story, and I was wondering if you could comment on that as well. Thanks.
Two great questions, Stephen. Thanks very much for listening in London. Dr. Montgomery, his first question regarding the lack of a voice of the free churches.
Yes, he's perfectly right in that respect. This is, of course, one of the consequences of having a state church. That is to say, there is one recognized Protestant church, which is connected intimately with the history of the country. And that places the other Protestant churches in the shadow. There's no doubt about that. At the same time, in my experience, having lived in the UK for 10 years or so, my experience has been that the free church clergy are far more concerned with minute doctrinal differences than they are with major social issues. Most of their time is spent arguing their own particular theological position, often a form of very strict Calvinism, over against those who don't maintain that viewpoint. The result of this is that no one is listening. The two churches that have some kind of national impact are the Anglican Church and the Roman Catholic Church. And the fact of the matter is that the Roman Catholic Church is far more conservative, far more biblical, as a matter of fact, in its pronouncements in dealing with issues of this kind than the Anglican Church. In the days when Carey was Archbishop, the situation was much better because, of course, Carey is evangelical. Now we have we have Rowan, and no one is quite sure where Rowan is, but wherever he is, it's not the solid position that really ought to be present. And this creates a really awkward situation. As far as the second point, the crucifix situation has just come forth in the Daily Telegraph. There's an article in the Daily Telegraph, let me see if I can get the date of this. Yes, the 10th of March. It's the 10th of March, and it's entitled, "Christians Have No Right to Wear Cross at Work, Says Government." Now, the Telegraph, as I'm sure you realize, is the most conservative of the national papers in the United States and just in the United Kingdom, and they just love to stick it to the government. But this is an important issue, I certainly hope that it gets everybody excited in the UK, or at least as excited as the English tend to get. Yes, they. My experience also in England is that there is less dynamism when it comes to issues like this. And if there were more dynamism, there might be less government success in the government's campaigns for political correctness.
So you would view the attempt to ban the crucifix and or cross in the workplace as another capitulation to political correctness?
This is started because some workers, some practicing Christians have been prohibited from wearing crosses at work. And the cases have gone through the English court system without success. And therefore, now these cases are going to Strasbourg, to the European Court of Human Rights. The European Court of Human Rights will only take a case if the case has exhausted domestic remedies. That's the technical expression. And in these instances, the domestic remedies have been exhausted. That means that it's in Strasbourg, the government has to defend the position that the courts have taken in England, regardless of what position would be the personal position of the lawyers involved. Automatically, the government becomes the defendant in cases of this kind.
Very briefly, then, with only about 30 seconds on that subject, because I did want to ask you about the International Academy. How do you expect the Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg to rule on that cross and crucifix issue?
I think it's very likely that the court will allow the wearing of crucifixes or crosses, as long as these are not of such a nature as to be overwhelming. In France, the position is, for example, that one cannot wear Muslim dress or ecclesiastical vestments if one is engaged in a public function. But there is nothing the matter with wearing a cross or a crucifix or presumably a Star of David, as long as this is a small emblem, as long as it isn't overwhelming in nature. The European Court of Human Rights, the Grand Chamber, of course, upheld the posting of crucifixes in Italian school classrooms on the ground that this was such a traditional element within Italy that it should be allowed. They didn't allow it because it was a Christian symbol, but they allowed it because it was a traditional element in Italy. So it would seem to me that the court, looking at the background of what's going on in Italy, what's going on in France, would say that as long as the wearing of a religious symbol is not so overwhelming that it gives the impression that the government is promoting this religious viewpoint, then it's all right. So I would imagine that people going to Strasbourg, the workers who have run into this difficulty, will be vindicated.
Dr. Montgomery, each summer you lead the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights in Strasbourg, France. Tell us about this academy.
Well, it's the only Institute of Advanced Studies in the Defense of the Faith anywhere. It's a two-week program, an intense program in which we have four top apologists who have defended the faith publicly over the years and who know how to do this. And the purpose of the 2 weeks is to analyze those objections to Christian faith which are most common in our time and provide the most effective answers. In other words, this is a program which will increase the effectiveness in evangelism of everybody who participates. This summer, we have still a couple of places left, even though the registration deadline has closed. And therefore, if there are listeners who are still considering the possibility of doing this, the program is in July, the mid 2 weeks of July, then they certainly ought to get in touch with us immediately. Otherwise, one should think in terms of July of 2013.
Folks, you can find out more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Professor Emeritus at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy and Christian Thought at Patrick Henry College and author and editor of more than 50 books, including His Tractatus Logico, Teologicus. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're very welcome.
Folks, we launched the iPhone and Android app on January 30th, and in those short 6 weeks, we've already had almost 1,500 downloads of those apps between the two of them. They are Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand for your mobile device, and they're absolutely free at our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, you can download either the iPhone app or the Android app, depending on what kind of mobile device you use. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. Pastor Tim Scharr, president of the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be our guest. Also, Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. That'll be our pastor's roundtable. Also tomorrow, we'll study the hymn, I Bind Unto Myself Today. It is an ancient and beautiful hymn of the Trinity, focusing on Christ. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. And it's attributed, by the way, to St. Patrick of Ireland. I bind unto myself today, tomorrow on Issues Etc. with Pastor Will Whedon. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.